Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Paul Hamilton. With Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, it's been a Sabres-y week. A lot of news. This has happened a lot in the last few years where the season ends and then like, okay, now we have something.
Yeah, Paul moves in.
Yeah, Paul week. We micro-analyze these press conferences and every word. And in fact, with that thought in mind, Paul, you wrote up a lot of what Kevin Adams said today verbatim. And I appreciate that. I mean, that was useful. And I think the closer I read the words, the more closely I read the words, the more I liked it. Especially toward the end of your article where he's like, do you want to be a part of this and make the fan base proud? I like that point. I thought that was like almost like a zinger in there from Adams. So, you know, given the circumstances, I would say I thought he had a pretty good day.
Yeah, I thought, you know, he made a pretty lengthy statement. It was about 4 minutes. And I thought, you know what? I think this statement needs to open the article. I think people need to read what he said here if they hadn't heard it earlier. So I thought it was important to verbatim put his statement in there, what he said. And a lot of it was because there's a lot of information in there about Jack Eichel's injury, what the doctors are thinking, you know, why they don't want to go through surgery right now. And then when he was done with that, you know, I thought to myself, are we asking the right question here? We keep asking him, has Jack Eichel asked to be traded? And maybe that's not the question. Mm-hmm. Maybe the right question here is, are you looking to trade Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhardt and Rasmus Ristolainen, and then the whole group of guys who have been here through a lot of this bad, bad losing? It plays on you. It has to. They're human beings. They don't want to lose. They're trained to win. And when it's losing after losing and last place 4 out of 8 years, and it's just like, ugh. You know, that type of feeling. I thought, and then Adams talks about his vision for a team and what he wants. I thought, does he want them here? Or does he want to get rid of them? So that's why I ask it that way.
Yeah. How did you feel about his response to that? Is that where he got to, we want guys who want to be here? I feel like that came up more than one time, yeah. And I don't think that was accidental.
Yeah. And that's where he said they have to be careful, you know, just because a player has been here the whole time and fans are frustrated and he totally understands why they would be, you can't hold 10 years against the player. He says, but what you do is lay out for the players what your vision is and then ask them, do they want to be part of the solution? Do you want to be here? Do you want to be part of something great, as he put it? Do you want to make the fan base proud of you, or don't you? And he said, if the answer is no, then you make the decisions to go forward. Now, when Jack Eichel was asked if he wants to be here, he said he has a lot of thinking to do. And he coming up, but he wouldn't say yes or no. Right. So I imagine that's probably the answer he gave Kevin Adams, that I have a lot of thinking to do right now. And but Adams says Eichel has not asked to be traded.
It's interesting that that can sound like a no. That's a question where you want a yes or no answer, and if it's not yes, it can sound like no. Anything that isn't yes. But it's also like, and these guys will say that, as bland as a lot of these things are after the season, it's tight. It's like the season ends on a Sunday and then you're talking on a Monday or something. It's like really quick. And I feel like it might be reasonable, especially when a team doesn't have a permanent coach, to want to, you know, take some time. So I wouldn't really want to blame anybody for that. It just might not be what the GM, any GM, wants to hear in that moment.
Well, in this case, in Eichel's case, he didn't play for Granato here in Buffalo, but he did play with him with the U.S. national team, play for him. So he's not totally in the dark about what Don Granato's about. He knows him. He's played for him. He said yesterday he's heard very good things from his teammates about him during the season, and he's liked what he's seen. So, you know, I don't think he would have a problem with playing for Don Granato. You know, my question is, too, and there are some people who thought this. You know, I got tweeted this yesterday, and was this a power play by Eichel?
Yeah.
Was this his way of not getting traded for a year? Because then his no movement clause kicks in, and then he has control. If Kevin Adams trades him in this offseason, Eichel has no control. He can trade him anywhere, and Eichel might not like where that place is. So was this a power play on Eichel's part to play one more year in Buffalo and then have that clause kick in, and then he can dictate where he's going? And I'm not saying that is. I'm just laying that out there.
Right. I'm trying to I want to make sure, and maybe I'm the only one struggling to follow that exactly. Like, what's the power play exactly? Like, is he, by suggesting he needs surgery or delaying the trade because he's not healthy and Adams won't be able to make the best trade he can? Is that
right.
What you're suggesting?
Make it difficult on Kevin Adams. You know, now you've put it in Kevin Adams' court that, you know, maybe teams would feel the Sabres are desperate and not make a good offer to the Sabres, so make it where Kevin Adams can't trade him. It's like Kevin Adams is like, well, no, I'm not going to trade you for that garbage. Are you kidding me?
Well, the injury might take care of that.
Yeah, exactly.
It might sort of eliminate all of that stuff if he's hurt like he is and teams don't know, or even the Sabres don't know exactly what his status is. That'll make this more complicated.
I mean, I don't know where Jack Eichel would not want to play, but he might not want to play in Ottawa, or he might not want to play in Calgary, or you know. So,
well, sure. I mean, and you obviously, we just went through this with Taylor Hall. It's a different scenario. Taylor Hall was heading for unrestricted free agency, and Jack Eichel has 5 more years at $10 million per on his contract. But still, the player having final say can certainly limit what you can get, you know, what kind of return you can get. Because the team you're dealing with knows that Eichel can approve that or not. And so I think you want to avoid that if you're the Sabres, which is why I think it's important to be proactive and you know, do this, I think, sooner rather than later, just because if you're pretty confident that this guy does not want to be here long term, I think you got to do it before he has any say in the matter. But like you're saying, the injury kind of could complicate that.
Yeah, so... And right now, could Jack Eichel pass a physical? I'm not a doctor. I would assume not, but I'm totally assuming, you know, that with all the injuries that Jack laid out for us yesterday, I wouldn't think passing a physical right now for an NHL team would be real promising.
Paul, what, in terms of the beginning of the press conference and how Adams explained what the Sabres' position was and how he sort of went through the timeline with Eichel and that injury, does it all hold water for you? I mean, I think the idea of the Sabres saying we'd rather be cautious and conservative, the word conservative came up many times, as opposed to you doing this surgery that no NHL player has been through and played after, you know, from, it feels like that's reasonable. So I wonder if you thought all of what Adams had to say about the situation was reasonable.
Almost. He did contradict himself badly. You know, he's talking about this process that goes through late May, early June. And before that, he said that they were, you know, going through the rehab treatment, conservative care rehab treatment with the process and, you know, hoping that he would return to play this season. It's like, well, You're just telling us that this process that goes through May and June, the only way he would be eligible to come back this season is if he made the playoffs, and that was done before he got injured. So that was the one contradicting part that I found of it, but the rest of it, I totally would see what they're talking about there. I'm not sure if I were the Sabres, I would want a player going through a procedure that it has been done by a couple of athletes, but the data that you're getting back from it is very short term right now. They've only had it done for a short term. You don't know what the long-term effects could be, even with those athletes, and it's never been done on an NHL player. So I totally understand where the Sabres doctors would be coming from, not being comfortable with that.
Yeah. On the alternative side, right, I mean, I think there's probably some worry from Eichel's camp and from Eichel himself, Paul, that rest and rehab, yes, this settles down and it's okay, but it reoccurs. Or you get some weakness in your arm, one arm or the other, or like just there's some kind of manifestation of symptoms that sort of come and go because the thing is still, you know, even though it calmed down and you're healthy and you're cleared to play, it's still something that could sort of pop up again. And yeah, maybe they're thinking the surgery would end that permanently.
Yeah, and he wants to be able to play to his potential next year. He doesn't want this hanging over his head that he's missing time, whether he's still with the Sabres hoping to have a good year so they can make a good trade for him to a place that he wants to go to later, you know, next year, or whether he's with his new team. I mean, he wants to play well next year, and he doesn't want this hanging over his head, so that's part of it too. He's thinking, I want surgery, and I want it now because the rehab will be done by – you know, probably July or whenever, and he can get into, you know, preparing for the season.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Western Hotline. On the subject of Granato, Paul, what did you make of his comments in general? And the idea, of course, now the question is, does he stay on?
Yeah, he went through Granato. He likes what Granato has done and the coaching staff. But he sat down and he said it was quickly with Don Granato, and he is following through with what he told him originally, that he wants to do an extensive search and he wants to talk to a lot of people about a lot of different things and a lot of different backgrounds. And Granato understands that because that's the way it was laid out to him in the beginning. So Granato, of course, gets first chance because he's talked to Adams on a daily basis since he's become the head coach. We talked about this yesterday. I've been thoroughly impressed with Matt Ellis and Dan Girardi on his staff also with how they've helped out with the players. So, yeah, I would think they are the front runners, but Adams has not shied away at all from his plan, which is to interview a lot of people, and that process has already begun and will continue to go on.
I wonder what kind of candidates we'll hear about, assuming we'll hear about candidates. I mean, I suppose they could do this in a fashion that we don't hear anything. But it seems like word usually gets out either through, you know, leaks in the organization or, you know, leaks from, you know, coaches, agents or whatever. People who think it's advantageous to have their names out there might want their name out there. But I just wonder, like Mike and I were talking earlier today, Paul, at one point, about like Bruce Boudreau, for example. Like if I'm trading Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart and replacing them to some extent with younger pieces, even still, there'll probably be some money in some way coming back, and that probably means veterans. But the point is, if I'm starting over with even younger pieces than Reinhart and Eichel, I'm rebuilding. Adams cannot want to say it all he wants, but is that the landing spot for a veteran coach? Usually a veteran coach, you think about a guy that's going to land in a place that's ready to win. Like even Dan Bylsma showed up here, yes, with Eichel and Reinhart, but they also traded for Evander Kane and Ryan O'Reilly and Robin Leonard. Like they did things to try to make the team better than a rebuilding team would be in the first year after just drafting a superstar. So like I wonder if like college coaches, OHL coaches, like more developmental minded coaches are what they might be looking at. And Granato certainly fits that description.
You know, he may have a guy like, because he hasn't signed a new deal with Carolina, it's rumored that he's close to it, but Rod Brind'Amour, if he were to become available, he knows him very well. So, you know, that I'm sure would be somebody on his mind as the as we go through the offseason until Carolina were to re-sign him or not and let him go. I think you're right as far as a Boudreaux or Julianne would go. I mean, you've got Cousins and you've got Dahlin and, you know, all the young players around here. If you trade Eichel, let's say you trade him to Los Angeles, you may get the second overall pick from last year, Quinton Byfield, who just started his NHL career. He played in the AHL with Ontario because of COVID and then came up to the Kings. I want to say he might have played 10 games somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have Turcotte from the national team that Hughes was on. And he was a very high pick, I believe, fourth overall pick the year before, was also a centerman. So, yeah, if you get both those guys from the Kings, I think you've made a nice deal. But, again, you're getting players who are just entering the NHL, are just going to start going through the growing pains. And is that what a veteran coach who's looking to get back in the league, is that right, you know, what he's signing up for?
You know, sometimes these press conferences wrap up. I mean, today was it, I think, right?
Yes.
For the week. So then you kind of just have to hang out, sit there until there's a trade or the draft. You know, it gets very quiet. If you have an interim coach or you're searching for a coach or a GM, as the Sabres have been several times in recent years, then there's that to follow. But like sort of to Bulldog's point earlier, they're not giving public updates on those searches. They're just doing them, and then you get the, you know, you get the news. With the Eichel injury, I don't know what kind of availability we're talking about. Probably not a lot. It's not an easy subject anyway. But there will be a call for information about it, right? Like, there's a period of time here coming up, the next few weeks, where there should be, you know, advances in that story. But it might be really tough to find out what they are.
I think if we do find out, it comes in a statement, you know, from the Sabres. I don't think they would. It's possible, unless it's we have to have surgery or something, that they would make Adams available. But I think it would probably come to us in the form of a statement. I would think the next time that Adams might be available, because don't forget, free agency is later this year. It doesn't start July 1st. It starts July 28th. So, you know, as far as movement for players, you got to wait an extra month. And what was nice about July 1st is you didn't have to compete with any NFL training camp. And that was kind of an entity by itself. But now that they've dumped it down to the 28th, now you're competing with the Bills and training camp and all the other news that's going on. So, you know, talking about the draft, maybe. I mean, he was supposed to talk about the trade deadline coming up and never did, and then talked about it afterwards, which all GMs do. But so I would think and hope that he would talk to us before the draft, but I'm not going to guarantee it.
Yeah, the statement thing sounds like a distinct possibility, right? In consultation with our medical staff, Jack Eichel has been cleared to resume hockey-related activities or something like that, right? That might be a way they can let us know that, like, from their standpoint, he's fine. And you know, I would think that they would love to be able to get that out there, especially if they want to trade him, right? So, you know, you're going to have to, you know, obviously I would trust it. So I'm not saying they would fudge that at all, but by saying they want to get it out there. But I would think if that ends up being the case, they would want that information known, because it would be good for them either way.
I think another impressive thing with Adams is I think he tries his best not to lie to you. And, you know, and sometimes you can see the way he's thinking. How do I put this without, you know, lying about it and not maybe saying exactly what's going on, but how do I put this where you're kind of in the middle there? But I think that's important to him. He doesn't want to be known as a liar. He talked to us today afterwards a little bit about honesty and that type of thing, and you know what he's trying to accomplish when he speaks with us, and he understands the job to do him and everything with that. And you know, most GMs I've dealt with and coaches have had the thought process. Tom Donahoe probably was the worst of the bunch. That lying, if you're lying and it behooves the organization, then you're not really lying. And they almost all believe that. You know, well, a lie that helps the organization isn't really a lie.
It's a tactic.
And, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, but right. Adams is different that way, and I appreciate that a lot. And Granato was too. Granato was basically, and that's what I asked from a coach. If you don't want to say something, just say no comment. I'm not going to talk about injuries. I'm not going to talk about that. Cool. But don't stand there and lie to me. Don't stand there and tell me that Jack Eichel's not playing hurt when everybody that's a Sabre fan that watches the games can obviously see that he's hurt. Don't stand up there and boldface lie to me. I mean, just say no comment. And you
that's
know,
that's one of those if it's not yes, then it has to be no, those. It's one of those words, you know.
Well, like, Granato got through it all right. And I don't think I ever walked away thinking he lied to me. Maybe he did. Maybe I'm gullible. Maybe he did. Maybe Adams lies to me all the time. I don't know. But I don't think they do.
Well, I like this point. I've heard you make it a few times in the last week or so. There are times when, okay, where's that bag of money? It's over there. I mean, there are times when you would make that choice. Or maybe I would say the same thing about Adams, or maybe I'm lying now by saying that.
And I believe you, so I'm being gullible.
Yes.
I just want to say I love both you guys.
Okay, right. Sure. That's believable. You know, you and I share some of that same frustration about that, Paul. And it gets worse for me when, like, you know the team is messing with people about something, and then you say that, and then you have, like, this swarm of fans who want to defend it. Because, like, what do we care about? Winning, you know.
And then Ralph Krueger had the audacity to get upset about it. You know, all of a sudden the press conference, he's talking about, well, you guys think I lie. I never lie. It's like, what? You have the audacity now to be upset about it because we've called you out on it?
Hmm. Well, Paul, that is now ancient history. And so are these press conferences, I suppose. That's it for today. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right. That is our man, Paul Hamilton, on our West Hur Hotline. And his appearances here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Let's talk about this Bills schedule, right? Come on.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'll tell you something about what the 17th game does that's a little bit interesting. There's an effect that the 17th game, I think, has on the schedule. And we'll go through what we know and hopefully hear from some fans about it, best and worst things about it. What do you think? 803-0550. It's all over social media. I don't know exactly what we're doing with it. I'll find out. Maybe you'll find out because it's not official from the league yet. And we have that partnership with the Bills. But, you know, if you want to find out what the schedule is and you don't know, you have Twitter. There it is. Like, that's what we think anyway, is what people seem to think the schedule is. And a lot of it has been confirmed by different outlets. So we'll get into it after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On WGR.
The disconnect in my mind right now is from our team to our fan base in our city and making the people of this community proud. And I understand what that means. And that's something that I think about every day. And I'm extremely focused on where we go from here and less focused on the past and the past 10 years. You certainly can learn from it, but I'm focused on solutions and I'm focused on the proper conversations to point this franchise in the right direction.
Kevin Adams today. You can hear the whole thing at the Audacy app, AUDACY, or WGR550.com. I guess we don't have the schedule up because we don't have it official. Easy to find the speculation, and most of it agrees with itself or each other. Like, you don't have a lot of dispute in some of these predictions about the Bills' schedule. Week one is confirmed, home, Sunday, 1 o'clock, September 12th, against Pittsburgh. That is very cool. I think that is very cool. They have only opened with Pittsburgh one other time, by the way. I looked this one up. It was 1978. This is probably a game, Bulldog, you remember, because the Steelers were such a big deal, and yep. This was Chuck Knox's first game as the Bills coach. You probably remember that, or at least his, like, arrival, right?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah. Did they beat the Steelers?
No. They did not. They got down maybe 21-0 and scored a little bit in garbage time. 28-17 was the final. Joe Ferguson started but was injured. Tony Dungy intercepted Ferguson in this game. And the Steelers won pretty handily. But that was a great team.
Right.
The Steelers were a great, and they were a Super Bowl winner that year and the next year.
Am I thinking of, they played in the playoffs and lost. Didn't they beat them in a regular season game before Knox then, but it wouldn't have been an opener?
Right. I think it's week two of 75.
Okay. All right. I knew I had a memory of them beating them.
In Pitt.
Yeah, right.
By the way, speaking of the Steelers, you said five was about, we talked about how many games was it that Roethlisberger stat, and Joe has looked it up, and it is five.
Yeah, he mentioned that to me during the break, yeah.
Five games since 2005 playoffs, a Super Bowl season for the Steelers, that Roethlisberger has started where the Steelers were a 6.5-point favorite or more, or rather underdog, sorry. Right. Underdog, like this game, this week one, right, the early line is 6.5 Bills. And it's five games only, and they have lost them all. The Steelers have not won a game with Roethlisberger as quarterback where they were as much of as a 6.5-point underdog since the 05 playoffs when they won at Indianapolis. So it's pretty good, but it's not that many games. Like, really, the bigger point is that it hasn't hardly happened.
Right.
than that they haven't won one. So the 78 against Pittsburgh, and then this year. New England is interesting on this schedule if what we have is correct. Widespread speculation that they'll meet in week 13, December 6th on Monday night. The Bills, so far it seems it's their only night game at home. Monday night in week 13 against New England. And that would be their first meeting with the Patriots if what we think the schedule is correct. So
right, yeah, because what I'm seeing is that they meet again then week 16,
right,
in New England, and so that's two times in 4 weeks you would be playing the Patriots.
Yeah, and you're going to go into December before seeing them at all.
Right.
Now we've wondered. Everybody's wondering, like, when does their rookie move in on that starting job? I think there's a scenario where he doesn't. If Newton is good, they're going to play to win this year. And then so why would they make that change? They're going to want to eventually. But I think their approach is to go with Newton. And, you know, if he looks bad physically, like last year was, especially toward the end, then that's different. But if it's not that way, I mean, they did sign him. It's a really interesting situation, I think. I think it'll be him, at least in the beginning. And so what kind of year do they have? Maybe it's better than 50-50 that by this game in December that they've made the change. But again, only if they're down or they get down. Like, they could make a change at like 1-3 or some record like that, because eventually they're going to want to do it.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, unless they're having some kind of unbelievable season or something. And I guess anything's possible. Who knows? But I don't foresee that. I mean, I'm betting on Jones to start the opener. I got odds from you, right? What did I get, 2-1 on that with you?
I have to write that on the board.
It's not on the board.
It's not on the board. I guess that means you can get out of it.
Much. You miss me so much. No, I don't want to get out of it.
I don't think I'd want to get out of it either. I'm thinking a lot about
you want this?
Jones starting week one.
Really?
They signed Newton, but they gave him backup money. Like $5 million is nothing to me.
I feel that way about real life. $5 million is not that much.
Whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't take the job.
It's beer money.
Myself. It's couch cushions.
So I don't know if I would think it's likely. I think 2-1 is actually kind of good odds on that because I think Jones could be their guy opening week one. I mean, and if he's not, by the time the Bills see the Patriots, just how Newton looked last year, I can't imagine he makes it to week 13. Like, he looked shot by midseason. Now, maybe that was because he had his bout with COVID at the beginning of the year and then was back pretty quickly after, but that body's been breaking down for years. And there were multiple times last year where people wondered, will they pull Cam Newton for Jarrett Stidham? And they didn't, but maybe that was only because they only had to go to Jarrett Stidham.
They did in games a few times because they were behind like they were.
Now, if they have Mac Jones to go to, it's week 7, and Newton's putting 6-yard outs in the dirt, then Jones could get in pretty quickly.
How do they start? So we don't know the whole schedule for everybody. They start with Miami.
Their favorite.
Week one. They're a small favorite at home, late game week one against Miami. And do we know anything else about them after that? I mean, again, the Bills are on their schedule not until week 13.
The whole Patriots schedule was leaked. So, yeah, I have it here. They open home against Miami, then they're at the Jets, then home New Orleans, home Tampa Bay.
Brady,
right? At Houston.
That'll be a pretty tough ticket.
It's Brady returning to Foxborough?
Yes.
It's a Sunday night game, too.
Is it? Good.
Sunday night football.
I approve of that decision.
And that's their only Sunday night game, and do they maybe have one Monday night or a Thursday Bills. Night and a Monday night?
They have a Thursday night at the Atlanta Bills. In November, okay. And then they have at the Bills Monday night. So they have three prime time games.
The Bills, we think, have four, if this is all correct right now. And there's still a couple of unknowns for the Bills, right? We're not sure of, but it's doubtful that they would rate as night games. Maybe.
I don't know which games we're not sure of.
And that would have to – I know which games we're not 100 – I mean, none of these games, I guess, we're 100% sure. Miami week 2, Houston week 4, Jacksonville week 9,
yep.
And Atlanta week 17 are not as strong as the others.
You think everything else is firm?
I think everything else is pretty firm.
Okay.
And this would be the first year since when that the Bills have more primetime games in New England? My lifetime.
Probably. My schedule, it's equal in firmness. It's equally firm throughout.
You're believing all of it equally?
I believe everything. Yeah. I believe the whole thing.
Gullibility rating is all the same?
Oh. I mean, last night there was New England-Buffalo week one. Remember, Sal brought that up yesterday because of Scott Zolak. And like, okay, well, I wrote that down.
Right.
And then I had to cross it out.
I saw at some point you and Sal communicating via Twitter with Zolak. Like, I don't know what time that was last night, but like, not so much, right?
Yeah, he wasn't right. I mean, how can you say it until you really know? I mean, you have guys that think they really know. I don't know which this is, but you know, how do mistakes happen? Sometimes you think you know, and turns out you didn't. Other times, you just sort of want to try. let me just try this. It's going around. I want to have my name on it, and I'll just try it. But man, don't do that. It's not worth it. Who cares? Who's looking to anybody to break the schedule news? You know, if you get it, great, good for you. But so what, right? I mean, like, who's looking? Do you look to Sal? Like, are you looking to Sal today to break the schedule news? No, right? You know, that's
not what
you'd expect.
I don't mind like seeing people like say things, but I really mean, like, we started the show today and I said, like, what do you want to tell us all about what you trust on the schedule? Because like, you're my filter for it. Like, I'm seeing all this stuff, and you know, the first time I saw the Saints thing was this Bleacher Report account And I forget the name, Master T or something. And I'm just like, I what am I supposed to do with this? Oh, it looks like Sal trusts it. Okay, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You claim to be and say you're the gullible one. When it comes to the schedule, I mean, I'm lost with who do I? Is there a blue check mark there? Who is Scott Zolak again? I don't know. I mean, I don't mind it, and I certainly like, you know, thinking about it once we get bits of it. But you can get lost in it, I think.
If the schedule I'm looking at proves to be correct, and I'm expecting it to, the Bills play at home 3 of the first 4 weeks and 3 of the last 4 weeks. And so, like, that's something that you could point out. There is an extra home game, though, and it can distort that. Like, you're used to that meaning a certain thing, and it doesn't quite right. mean exactly that thing anymore.
There's, right, there's a third,
the extra right. game in there sort of does that. So it's right that there's, like, a big stretch where the Bills play once at home, and it's, like, 6 weeks, if what we're looking at is correct, once again. But really, yep. It's both. It's not an early schedule or a late one. It's both. It's 3 of the first 4 and then 3 of the last 4, two of which will be in January. Two
and
January games.
Yeah, right, right. And there's a bye mixed into that stretch where they're only home that one time.
Right. Yeah, week 7, which would be like October 24th would be the Sunday if that's correct. What do we think of maybe I should wait on this. I was going to bring up the week 1 Monday night. We were guessing about that yesterday. Good morning, America.
Right.
It's Baltimore at the Raiders. I love it. You know, I love the Ravens and love to watch them. And I might be going to that game, actually.
What?
Yeah.
You're going to Ravens Raiders?
I might be. It's a possibility. Because I'm going to be out there around that time.
Are you waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers is a Raider before you buy tickets?
Yes, I'm not interested in the game unless
Aaron Rodgers
is there. But, I mean, that's going to be a pretty good ticket. If they're at capacity, they moved there last year and no one could go the whole year. Remember the Raiders were like, nope, the whole year, nope.
Right.
And so they've got that stadium. Like, it's insane, that stadium. And nobody went to it the whole year. Sal talked about, he had the source on the schedule, too. We'll have him coming up. But how he wondered if those stadiums, LA and Vegas, would rate this year as if they didn't even exist last year because people didn't get to go. And he might have been right because they are both at home week 1 at night. That'll be a pretty good ticket. You know, the way Vegas works, where like I'm feeling like I'm just going to have to sell a lot of stuff and then gamble with it, the money, and then I will be comped tickets to that Ravens game. That's one way to do it.
Super solid plan, kids.
Yeah, that's instead of just buying the tickets, why buy them when you can win them?
Listen to Uncle Mikey here. He's got it all figured out.
Sell important things, family heirlooms, et cetera, furniture, and then flip that. You just go gambling with it. Even if you lose, you get the comp tickets. I mean, that's probably a pretty high roller item, though. Comp tickets to that game?
I would say probably, yeah, right. Like, you know. Yeah, you're more likely to get like comp tickets to like the Albert Humperdinck impersonator concert, probably. I'm saying maybe.
I would think. Yeah, I would agree with that. Joe, your thoughts?
Joe's I don't know if I want to.
What in the world
is
Albert Humperdinck?
Yeah.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Engelbert.
You going for?
Right.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Albert Humperdinck.
Albert Engelbert. Holy crap!
Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sal at 5. Let's break here. This is WGR.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Zach Brown Band, and we have tickets. Caller 5-644-9878. Caller 5-716-644-9878. Two tickets to Zach Brown Band, September 5th at Darien Lake, with special guests Adam Doliak and Ashlyn Kraft. The tickets to this show go on sale Friday at noon. That's Eastern time. All right, Sal coming up on the schedule. How about the Bisons, or rather the Blue Jays, development today? Just quickly, Governor Cuomo in town to announce it. Vaccinated and non-vaccinated sections. I'm excited. I am vaccinated. I am excited to see Major League Baseball in Buffalo like a lot of us are. That will be really strange, though, that sort of segregated crowd at these things. I don't know. I don't know how it'll feel. I don't think I've ever been a part of such a thing. Where, like, over here, we're all sitting close together. Over there, you have to stay apart, you know, masks for everybody. Wonder if it would ever sort of get contentious at a setting like that. Even though there would be that separation. I hope not. I mean, we're all just there to see the ball game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would think if you're going to make the commitment to go, you know, depending on the cost. I mean, I expect it to cost a lot more than Bison's games cost to go see the Blue Jays and the Yankees play, for example. But so I think you're probably going to be inclined to play by the rules if you're going to go do that. It's not, again, going to be so many people like you'd be dealing with at a you know, 70,000 person venue. I mean, what are we talking about? 6,000 people or something around that, I think?
Up to 35%, so maybe, yeah. That sounds about right. In that ballpark. How about that?
I get jokes.
The governor said something else the other day about, it reminded me of Mark Poloncarz's announcement about the fully vaccinated crowd at the stadium, and there was like a he kind of alluded to it before when that was news, that there's sort of a legal restriction to that. I know. It was that they needed, not the CDC, they needed some sort of federal backing for the vaccine, whether that's one brand or all of them. They needed some sort of, like some, whether it's logistical or some other sort of level to arrive at in terms of the vaccine for that, this is my the way I interpreted the statement, for the, okay, you can come if you're vaccinated, that sort of mandate, if that's the right word, to be legal. So remember we had polling cars said, we'll have full capacity as long as everybody's vaccinated. And the governor kind of said, well, you, not quite. Like he's getting ahead of himself. Right. Yeah. And that came up, not with respect to the bills, but with this that came up the other day. And I feel like that was like a threshold or something that needed to happen. And it is, according to the governor, it was expected to happen that there would be. And maybe back when Mark Poloncarz made that announcement, he was sort of thinking the same way, that we'll get to that point where why can't I think of the organization? I'm sort of embarrassed. But there will be this announcement made, and then it would be, I guess, legal for the county venues
dictate their rules.
Like, yes. Yeah. I think that's right. For now, with the Blue Jays, vaccinated sections, non-vaccinated sections, that's how it seems like it's going to start. And tickets go on sale next week. The Bills schedule isn't official until 8, but we think we know a lot of it. We'll talk to Sal, maybe even all of it. So we'll see where Sal is on this puzzle that we all enjoy putting together on schedule day. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.